will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Our scripture reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 52, beginning with verse 13. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquitted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For the dear level cause, left his glory above, to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. And he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till trophies at last I lay down.
I will cling to the old rugged cross
and exchange it someday for a crown.
Our passion narrative begins in John. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed.
Grace and Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. Sin Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation. Each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Your death is now my life indeed, for you have paid my ransom.
Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside and said to them, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber.
Sinners gain. My
mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain.
Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From them on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, an Aramaic Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, where in the Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple who he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Thank you.
which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, help us look to thee for grace. Fall I to the fountain fly, wash me clean, pure or I die.
Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. The Passion of our Lord, according to the Gospel of St. John. Scripture is fulfilled. He was wounded for our transgression. Upon him all of our iniquities have been laid. You heard the prophetic words from the psalm, Psalm 22. You heard the words of prophecy, but even more so promise, when we heard from Isaiah and the suffering servant saw. Scripture tells us that our righteousness is like filthy rags, that no one is righteous, no, not one, that all have sinned, and that all has fallen short of the glory of God. We need an atoning sacrifice. We need a Savior who can deliver us from all of our sins. So we call this day Good Friday, God's Friday, a day when God fulfills promises spoken in a garden way back in the beginning. The Son of Man, Messiah Jesus, the Savior of the world, the great Ego Eimi, I am. He will stomp on the head of the serpent and destroy sin and death and the power of the devil forever and forever. And so I share a story with you tonight. Ragman by Walter Wangerin. I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most strange. Like nothing my life, my street sense, my sly tongue had ever prepared me for. Hush, my child, hush now, and I will tell it to you. Even before the dawn, one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome, strong, walking the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart filled with clothes, both bright and new. And he was calling in a clear, tenor voice, "Rags, rags, rags, rags." Oh, the air was foul, and the first light filthy to be crossed by such sweet music. "Rags, rags, new rags for old rags, rags." Now this is a wonder, I thought to myself, for the man stood 6'4". His arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular, and his eyes flashed intelligence. Could he find no better job than this, to be a ragman in the inner city? I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I wasn't disappointed. Soon the ragman saw a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into a handkerchief, sighing, shedding 1,000 tears, her knees and elbows made a sad cross. Her shoulders shook, her heart was breaking. The ragman stopped his cart. Quietly, he walked to the woman, stepping around tin cans and dead toys and discarded Pampers. "Give me your rag," he said so gently. "Give me your rag, and I'll give you another." He slipped the handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up, and he laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. She blinked from the gift to the giver. Then, as he began to pull his cart again, the ragman did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his own face, and then he began to weep. He began to sob so grievously as she had done, his shoulders shaking, yet she was left without a single tear. "This is a wonder," I breathed to myself, and I followed the sobbing ragman like a child who cannot turn away from a mystery. "Rags, rags, new rags for old rags, 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 new rags for old rags." In a little while, when the sky showed gray behind the rooftops, and I could see the shredded curtains hanging out black windows, the ragman came upon a girl. Her head was wrapped in a bandage. Her eyes were empty. Blood soaked her bandage. A single line of blood ran down her cheek. Now the tall ragman looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he said, tracing his own line on her cheek, "and I'll give you mine." The child could only gaze at him while he loosened the bandage and removed it and tied it to his own head, the bonnet he set on hers. And I gasped at what I saw, for with the bandage went the wound. Against his brow, it ran a darker, more substantial blood. His own blood. Rags! Rags! I take old rags! Cried the sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent rag man. The sun hurt both the sky now and my eyes. The rag man seemed more and more to hurry. Are you going to work? He asked the man, who leaned against the telephone pole. The man shook his head. The rag man pressed him. Do you have a job? Are you crazy? Sneered the other. He pulled away from the pole, revealing the right sleeve of his jacket, flat, the cuff stuffed into the pocket. He had no arm. So, said the rag man, give me your jacket. Give me your jacket and I'll give you mine. Such quiet authority in his voice. The one-armed man took off his jacket. So did the rag man. And I trembled at what I saw, for the rag man's arm stayed in its sleeve. And when the other put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs. But the rag man, he had only one. Go to work, he said. Go to work. After that, he found a drunk lying unconscious beneath an army blanket. An old man, hunched, wizened, sick. He took the blanket, wrapped it around himself. But for the drunk, he left new clothes. Rags, rags, new rags for old rags. And now I had to run to keep up with the ragman. Though he was weeping uncontrollably and bleeding freely at the forehead, pulling his cart with one arm, stumbling for drunkenness, falling again and again, exhausted, old, old and sick. Yet he went with terrible speed. On spider's legs, he skittered through the alleys of the city, this mile and the next, until he came to its limits. And then he rushed beyond it. I wept to see the change in this man. I hurt to see his sorrow. And yet I needed to see where he was going in such haste, perhaps to know what drove him so. The little old rag man, he came to a landfill, a garbage pit. And then I wanted to help him in what he did, but I hung back, hiding. He climbed a hill. With tormented labor, he cleared a little space on that hill. Then he sighed. He lay down. He pillowed his head on a handkerchief and a jacket. He covered his bones with an army blanket. And he died. And he died. Oh, how I cried to witness that death. I slumped in a junk car and wailed and mourned as one who has no hope. Because I'd come to love the rag man. Every other face had faded in the wonder of this man. And I cherished him. But he died. And I sobbed myself to sleep. I did not know. How could I know? That I slept through Friday night and Saturday. And it's night too. But then, on Sunday morning, I was awakened by a violence. Light, pure, hard, demanding light, slammed against my sour face. And I blinked, and I looked, and I saw the last and the first wonder of all. There was the ragman. Folding the blanket most carefully, a scar on his forehead, but alive. And besides that, healthy. There was no sign of sorrow, nor of age, and all the rags that he had gathered shined for cleanliness. Well, then I lowered my head and trembling for all that I had seen, I myself walked up to the ragman. I told him my name. With shame, I told him my name. For I was a sorry figure, you see, next to him, a sorry figure indeed. Then I took off all my clothes in that place, and I said to him with dear yearning in my voice, dress me, dress me. He dressed me, my Lord. He put new rags on me, and I am a wonder beside him. The ragman, the ragman, the Christ. Rags, rags, new rags for old rags, Paul says to the church in Galatia. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of Man who loved me and gave himself for me. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been clothed, dressed, so to speak, in the righteousness of Jesus. And we are heirs according to promise. We trust the word of God. We cling to the word of God. And on this Friday, this Good Friday, God's Friday, we remember that Jesus not only prophesied his dying, but also the guaranteed promise of the third day. Rags, rags, though our righteousness be as rags, in Jesus Christ, the Father's only begotten Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is finished, done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As is our tradition, we will sing, Were You There? And then, after verse 1, we will continue with our bidding prayer.
Let us pray, brothers and sisters, for the Holy Church of God throughout the world, that God the Almighty Father guide it and gather it together so that we may worship him in peace and tranquility.
Almighty and eternal God, you have shown your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ. Guide the work of the church. Help it to persevere in faith, proclaim your name, and bring salvation to people everywhere. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for the North American Lutheran Church and Bishop Dan Selbo, for our pastor David Stephenson, other ministers, for all servants of the church, and for all the people of God.
Almighty and eternal God, your Spirit guides the church and makes it holy. Strengthen and uphold our pastors and our leaders. Keep them in health and safety for the good of the church, and help each of us to do faithfully the work to which you have called us. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for those preparing for baptism, that God make them responsive to his love and give them new life in Jesus Christ.
Almighty and eternal God, you continually bless the church with new members. Increase the faith and understanding of those preparing for baptism. Give them a new birth as your children, and keep them in the faith and communion of your holy church as they practice their baptism in daily life. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all our brothers and sisters who share our faith in Jesus Christ, that God may gather and keep together in one church all those who know Christ as Lord.
Almighty and eternal God, you give your church its unity. Look with favor on all who follow Jesus, your Son. We are all consecrated to you by our baptism. Make us one in the fullness of faith, and keep us one in the fellowship of love. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for the Jewish people, the first to hear the word of God, that they may receive the fulfillment of the covenant's promises.
Almighty and eternal God, long ago you gave your promise to Abraham and his posterity. Hear the prayers of your church, that the people you first made your own may arrive with us at the fullness of redemption. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for those who do not believe in Christ, that the light of the Holy Spirit may show them the way of salvation.
Almighty and eternal God, enable those who do not acknowledge Christ to receive the truth of the gospel. Help us, your people, to grow in love for one another, to grasp more fully the mystery of your Godhead, and so to become more perfect witnesses of your love in the sight of all people. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for those who do not believe in God, that they may find him who is the author and goal of our existence.
Almighty and eternal God, you created humanity so that all might long to know you and have peace in you. Grant that in spite of the hurtful things that stand in their way, they may all recognize in the lives of Christians the tokens of your love and mercy, and gladly acknowledge you as the one true God and Father of us all. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for those who serve in public office, that God may guide their minds and hearts so that all of us may live in true peace and freedom.
Almighty and eternal God, you are the champion of the poor and oppressed. In your goodness, watch over those in authority so that people everywhere may enjoy justice, peace, freedom, and a share in the goodness of your creation. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray that God, the Almighty and Merciful Father, may heal the sick, comfort the dying, give safety to travelers, free those unjustly deprived of liberty, and rid the world of falsehood, hunger, and disease.
Almighty and eternal God, you give strength to the weary and new courage to those who have lost heart. Hear the prayer of all who call on you in any trouble, that they may have the joy of receiving your help in need. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Finally, let us pray for all those things for which our Lord would have us ask. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
O come, let us worship him.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
O come, let us worship him.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
O come, let us worship him.
We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.